I was in a fraternity in college, and when I went to seminary, it was in many ways a very similar experience, believe it or not. One of the things that was most interesting was living in the fraternity house and or living in the dorm room at seminary. Now, for those of you who are still in high school and have not gone to college yet and or lived in an actual dorm atmosphere, there is a rule you need to know about. Because if you don't, well, you could end up losing something. In a house or in a dorm, there are what are called common areas, right? That's where you go and lounge, right? You talk about the game or your studies or the girls or the guys or whatever. You do all that, right? Well, if you leave anything in the lounge, it's common property. It may not be there the next day. Because the thought is, if you leave it in the lounge, you didn't want it, right? So, and everybody kind of knows that, although nobody ever says it, right? So if your great aunt Faye sends you something you don't really want to eat, well, you just go out into the lounge and you leave it on the table. And chances are someone else will like that, whatever it is, and eat it. But if you leave your jacket out there and you like that jacket may not be there tomorrow, right? And you really can't complain. You really can't complain. So you develop this sort of economy of, well, if you don't want it, you pitch it out there and you look around for anything anybody else left. And if they left it and you want it, well, you take it, right? And nobody complains. It's just sort of what you do. It's fine. I got a very nice jacket from college. I still wear, actually, by the way, that way. It's a very nice jacket. I hope he meant to give it away, but, you know, we'll see. I don't know. Well, how that ties into today's gospel is I want you to pretend that you are living in a dormitory, all right? And someone has sent you an envelope, right? Some mail. And it didn't come to your little dorm mailbox, which is like that big, right? Wouldn't fit. So they left it outside your door. Well, you're really busy. Let's say you're 18 or 19, and this is your first year at school, right? First year. You've got a lot to deal with. You're figuring out your classes. You're trying to find out where your classes are. That's a big challenge. You're trying to figure out the best way to get there, to get your books, to organize your time, to go to the ball games, to see your friends, to go out and eat, wash your clothes. I mean, there's a lot to deal with and absorb that first year. So there's this envelope out there. You don't know who it's from. You don't know what it is. So maybe you're tempted to just ignore it and leave it out there in the hall. Well, the hall is not exactly the common area, but it's pretty close to it, right? The longer you leave it out there, the chances are the cleaning staff might take it, or somebody else might get curious and take that envelope and look inside, and you wouldn't have the opportunity. That's like the heart that was hard. In today's gospel, we heard about the sower who went out to sow seeds, and he talks about four different types of ground. One was the hard ground. One was the rocky ground. One was the ground that had thorns, and one was good ground. This ground that was hard, where the seed just landed on the top, and the devil and the birds came and took it away, that's a heart that is closed. That's a heart that's not open. That's a heart that is not really interested. It's not curious, right? It's just going to leave that envelope out there in the door, never knowing that it's a love letter from God, inviting you to relationship with Him. It's a love letter. It's the gospel that's the seed, right? So if we're not careful, we'll leave that envelope out there in the hallway and somebody else will take it and it'll be gone. But let's say instead that, okay, we're generally kind of a neat person and it just drives us crazy to see that envelope out there in the hallway. So we pick it up and we take it into our room and we put it on, you know, our room at seminary was 8 feet by 13. That's not real big, especially once you cram a twin bed in there and a little desk and a big wardrobe. It tightens up fast. Anyway, you take it in, you put it on there. At least I didn't have a roommate, which if you have one, it works out, but it can be interesting. Anyway, so you bring the envelope in and you leave it there. Well, you're busy, right? It's not gotten any less busy than I described before. This is the heart that's rocky. Rocky in that it's cluttered. There's a lot in there. You've got a lot to do. We all have rocks in our heart. You know what they're called? They're called lust. How about greed? How about anger? Oh, the people I talk to that are angry, they come to me and say, "Father, I'm so angry." And they describe to me what happened, and I'm thinking, "Yep, you're right to be angry. But you know what? That's only burning you up. It's not doing anything productive at all for anything else. Let go of the anger. Let go of this greed before you gamble your life away." That's really all gambling is, you know, by the way. It's greed. You want more money. And it's fun to do, I guess. Although I got to admit, I'm Scottish, and the idea of gambling just runs contrary to my Scottish nature. I don't know. I'm not that risky. I'm just not willing to take that risk. The high doesn't offset the low of losing. But we all have those rocks in our hearts, right? We have that junk in our heart, in our rooms that we've got to get rid of. So that's like the person who brings the envelope in, but they never open it. But if they did, they'd see, "Wow, look at this. Look at this. It's a great big TV that I can put in my room." The guys at seminary loved this. They had TVs bigger than their rooms. I don't know how they got them in there. They can connect their computer to it. They could watch TV. They could do everything with this thing. And who knows with virtual reality what they could do now with these things. That's only just beginning to come. So this is this great big TV. But you can't set it up in your heart, in your room, until you get rid of some of this other junk, some of this other furniture that's taking up so much space. What about lying, right? You know, greed, these things. We know it's in there. We have to admit it's there. And we have to get rid of it to get it out of the way. That's the heart that's rocky. There's no room. The seed, the gospel, can't grow. Okay, well, let's say you've got room. Let's say you're neat. You've got room in there, and you bring it in, and you look, and wow, it's this TV. I've got room for it. But guess what? What about all the external pressures you've got to deal with? What about school and class? And boy, there's that girl in that econ class that you'd really like to get to know, but it's just very hard to go work up the nerve and go sit down beside her. What are you going to do? Or what about that cute guy in gym class? Maybe you'd really like to run into him at some social one night. Maybe you can figure out from his friends what he likes to do. Guys, you know that's how the girls work. They're a lot smarter about it than we are. We're just kind of blunt instruments out there. The girls are very subtle. They're very, very subtle. They're very good at these things, all right? But anyway, what do you do? Well, you've got to focus on priorities. Is your relationship with God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit your priority? I go to the hospital and I see a 5-year-old boy who has brain cancer. His parents are devastated. I am devastated. This is immensely difficult. And just because you have a successful surgery does not mean that this season of their life, whatever it will be, is over. No, it's just beginning. Now we've got radiation. Now we've got chemotherapy. Now we've got to travel to go get these things. It's going to take travel. It's going to take money. It's going to take time. It's going to take expense. This is going to take years for this to all play out, however it plays out. The only way, it seems to me, to find any perspective with this kind of tragedy, and the only place to find it, is at the foot of the cross. That's where we get perspective that nothing that happens to us is as bad as what happened to him. Now, that doesn't mean it's good, it's true, it's right, we shouldn't get frustrated or angry or mad, of course, but nothing that happens to us is ever as bad as what happened to him. The Son of God, the pure and righteous, sinless one, came to love and to help. And what did we as mankind do to him? That's what we did to him. That's what we did. So, we find perspective in the cross and in the resurrection. In the resurrection. Though our friends and families may decline, though they may not be the people they used to be for whatever reason, through no fault of their own, maybe some disease came, maybe they died. People die on us, don't they? They die and they leave us, and our world gets smaller, and it stinks. What do we do? Where do we find perspective? We find it in the ascension. Christ came, He died, He rose. We believe they've risen, or will rise with Him, and we will go and be with Him. We look forward to having that grand family banquet in the kingdom of God at the appropriate time. But we are like the people with a good heart. We've received this gospel. We've received this message. We're trying to grow it in our hearts to get rid of the junk, to get rid of grief and despair and anger and frustration, to let go of our ego, which is where all that grief and anger comes from anyway. Let go of that and to fill our hearts with the seeds of the Holy Spirit, of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. That's a tough one. Self-control. If we do that with patient endurance, we will find peace and perspective. This life is not all. The next life is. Think about these things. Open that envelope, that gospel. Let that seed of love grow in your hearts and hold on to it even through the storms, even through the storms of life. God loves you. He's still there. There may be clouds in the sky, but I promise you the sky is still blue and the sun still shines on the other side of the clouds. Think about these things, and I hope you have a blessed and wonderful day and week. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.